Welcome to day 115 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading 1 Chronicles chapters 3, 4, and 5 from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Now these were the sons of David who were born to him in Hebron. The firstborn was Amnon by Ahinoam the Jezreelitess. The second was Daniel by Abigail the Carmelitess. The third was Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah by Abital. The sixth was Ithream by his wife Eglah. Six were born to him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. These were born to him in Jerusalem: Shemaiah, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. Four, by Bathshua, the daughter of Amiel. And Ibhar, Elishama, Eliphelet, Noga, Nepheg, and Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Nine. All these were the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubines, and Tamar was their sister. Now Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Abijah was his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son, Ahaziah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son. The sons of Josiah were Johanan the firstborn, and the second was Jehoiakim, the third Zedekiah, the fourth Shallum. The sons of Jehoiakim were Jeconiah his son, Zedekiah his son. The sons of Jeconiah the prisoner were Shealtiel his son, and Malkiram, Pediah, Shenazar, Jechemiah, Hoshama, and Nedabiah. The sons of Pediah were Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel were Meshulam and Hananiah, and Shelomith was their sister, and Hashuba, Ohel, Berechiah, Hasadiah, and Jushab Hesed. Five. The sons of Hananiah were Pelatiah and Jeshiah. The sons of Rephaiah, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, the sons of Shechaniah. The descendants of Shechaniah were Shemaiah, and the sons of Shemaiah, Hattush, Egal, Beriah, Neriah, and Shaphat. Six. The sons of Neriah were Elioni, Hizkiah, Azrikam. Three. The sons of Elioni were Hodaviah, Eliashib, Peliah, Akub, Johanan, Deliah, and Anani. 7. Chapter 4. The sons of Judah were Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. Reiah, the son of Shobal, became the father of Jahath, and Jahath became the father of Ahumai and Lahad. These were the families of the Zorathites. These were the sons of Etam, Jezreel, Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazel El Poni. Penuel was the father of Gedor, and Ezer the father of Husha. These were the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nara. Nara bore him Ahuzam, Hefer, Temeni, and Haheshtari. These were the sons of Nara. The sons of Hela were Zareth, Izhar, and Ethnon. Koz became the father of Anub and Zobibah. and the families of Aharhel, the son of Harum. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Chelub, the brother of Shuha, became the father of Mahir, who was the father of Eshton. Eshton became the father of Beth-Rapha, and Pasea, and Tehinna, the father of Irnahash. These are the men of Rekah. Now the sons of Kenaz were Othniel and Sariah. And the sons of Othniel were Hathath and Maonathai. Maonathai became the father of Ophrah, and Sariah became the father of Joab, the father of Ge-Harashim, for they were craftsmen. The sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, were Eru, Elah, and Naam. And the son of Elah was Kenaz. The sons of Jehalalel were Ziph and Ziphah, Tiriah and Asarel. The sons of Ezra were Jether, Mered, Epher, and Jalan. And these are the sons of Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, whom Mered took. And she conceived and bore Miriam, Shammai, and Ishba, the father of Eshtemoah. His Jewish wife bore Jered, the father of Gedor, and Heber, the father of Soko, and Jekuthiel, the father of Zanoah. The sons of the wife of Hodiah, the sister of Naham, were the fathers of Keilah the Garmite, and Eshtemoah the Maacathite. The sons of Shimon were Amnon and Rinnah, Ben-Hanan and Telon, and the sons of Ishi were Zoheth and Ben-Zoheth. The sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Ladah, the father of Mereshah, and the families of the house of the linen workers at Beth-Ashbeah, and Jocham, the men of Kozeba, Joash, Saraph, who ruled in Moab, and Jashubi, Lachem. And the records are ancient. These were the potters and the inhabitants of Netaim and Gederah. They lived there with the king for his work. The sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin, Jarib, Zerah, Shaul, Shalum his son, Mibsam his son, Mishma his son. The sons of Mishma were Hamuel his son, Zakur his son, Shimei his son. Now Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters, but his brothers did not have many sons, nor did all their family multiply like the sons of Judah. They lived at Beersheba, Moladah, and Hazar Shual, at Bilhah, Ezem, Tolad, Bethuel, Hormah, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susim, Beth Biri, and Sha'ah Ra'im. These were their cities until the reign of David. Their villages were Etam, Ain, Rimmon, Token, Ashan, 5 cities, and all their villages that were around the same cities as far as Baal. These were their settlements, and they have their genealogy. Meshobab and Jamlech and Josha, the son of Amaziah, and Joel and Jehu, the son of Joshabiah, the son of Sariah, the son of Asiel, and Elioni, Jacobah, Jeshohiah, Asiah, Adiel, Jessimiel, Benaiah, Ziza, the son of Shifi, the son of Alon, the son of Jediah, the son of Shimri, the son of Shemaiah. These mentioned by name were leaders in their families, and their father's houses increased greatly. They went to the entrance of Gedor, even to the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. They found rich and good pasture, and the land was broad and quiet and peaceful, for those who lived there formerly were Hamites. These, recorded by name, came in the days of Hezekiah the king of Judah, and attacked their tents and the Meunites who were found there, and destroyed them utterly to this day, and lived in their place, because there was pasture there for their flocks. From them, from the sons of Simeon, 500 men went to Mount Seir, with Pelatiah, Neriah, Raphaiah, and Uziel, the sons of Ishi, as their leaders. They destroyed the remnant of the Amalekites who escaped, and have lived there to this day. Chapter 5. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that he is not enrolled in the genealogy according to the birthright. Though Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came the leader, yet the birthright belonged to Joseph. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. The sons of Joel were Shemaiah his son, Gog his son, Shimei his son, Micah his son, Reiah his son, Baal his son, Bera his son, whom Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, carried away into exile. He was the leader of the Reubenites. His kinsmen, by their families, in the genealogy of their generations, were Jeiel the chief, then Zechariah, and Bela the son of Azaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel, who lived in Aror, even to Nebo and Baal-Meon. To the east he settled as far as the entrance of the wilderness from the river Euphrates, because their cattle had increased in the land of Gilead. In the days of Saul they made war with the Hagrites, who fell by their hand, so that they occupied their tents throughout all the land east of Gilead. Now the sons of Gad lived opposite them in the land of Bashan, as far as Selekah. Joel was the chief, and Shapham the second, then Janai and Shaphat in Bashan. Their kinsmen of their father's household were Michael, Meshulam, Sheba, Jorai, Jachin, Zia, and Eber, seven. These were the sons of Abihail, the son of Huri, the son of Jeroah, the son of Gilead, the son of Michael, the son of Jeshishai, the son of Jado, the son of Buz. Ahi, the son of Abdiel, the son of Guni, was head of their father's households. They lived in Gilead, in Bashan and its towns, and in all the pasture lands of Sharon, as far as their borders. All of these were enrolled in the genealogies in the days of Jotham, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, consisting of valiant men, men who bore shield and sword and shot with bow and were skillful in battle, were 44,760 who went to war. They made war against the Hagrites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nobadab. They were helped against them, and the Hagrites and all who were with them were given into their hand, for they cried out to God in the battle, and he answered their prayers because they trusted in him. They took away their cattle, their 50,000 camels, 250,000 sheep, 2,000 donkeys, and 100,000 men. For many fell slain because the war was of God, and they settled in their place until the exile. Now the sons of the half-tribe of Manasseh lived in the land, from Bashan to Baal Hermon, and Senir and Mount Hermon, they were numerous. These were the heads of their father's households, even Epher, Ishi, Eliel, Azriel, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jodiel, mighty men of valor, famous men, heads of their father's households. But They acted treacherously against the God of their fathers and played the harlot after the gods of the peoples of the land whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, even the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, and he carried them away into exile, namely the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them to Halah, Habor, Hara, and to the river of Gozan to this day. This is the end of today's scripture reading. As we heard in today's reading, this lengthy list of genealogy of the children of Israel, I want to point out just a few verses found in chapter 4 here in 1 Chronicles. It's quite interesting to me that as the lists of names of fathers and sons and that were given to us here in these first chapters in the book of 1 Chronicles, we get a little bit of testimony, if you will, about one certain man whose name was Jabez. And you find this in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. So in these two verses, we get a little editorial commentary about this man named Jabez. And it says about him, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Well, that was a great statement to be made about a person, that among all his brothers, he was the most honorable. So that in itself was very precious kind of comment about him. But it goes on to tell us several other very important things. It says his mother named him Jabez. And that's an interesting statement because his name actually means one who causes pain. Now, you could say that that was a very negative moniker to be saddled with as a child. You could say it could have had a real rejecting type of influence upon Jabez's life. Can you imagine having your mother call you and go, "Come here, little pain," because his name means causes pain? Yet despite that negative name, Jabez became more honorable than his brothers. And there's several observations that we can make from that simple statement about his name. The first thing is that it is a truth that you do not have to become what people have called you all your life. Maybe you were given a very negative childhood name, not perhaps the name, your given name, but perhaps a nickname that you were called, or maybe you were called sloppy or slowpoke or something negative because of a particular character trait that you had when you were growing up. Despite any negative teasing or name calling that you experienced as a child, you do not have to grow up to become what people have called you all your life. If, like Jabez, you call upon the name of the Lord, you also can overcome any childhood trauma you might have experienced and instead live a victorious and a fulfilled life. So that's the first thing that I want to make that mention of as we take a look at this, as we take a look at this man named Jabez. The second thing I want to comment on is that it really is very important what you do call your children. Not only the name that you give them that's going to be recorded on their birth certificate, that is important. And in the days of the Israelites, they were very careful about the names they gave because the name would have a meaning. In the case of Jabez, I wouldn't say that his mother did very well in calling him that name, but it's important if you're having children to check on what is the actual meaning of the name that you're giving that child. Today, in our society in the United States, many people choose names because they just like the sound of them or because it's a popular name or it's an unusual name, but you need to investigate what is the actual meaning of that name. But secondly, and maybe more importantly, You also need to really be careful about any type of nickname that you ever use with your children. Make a decision to choose names, even nicknames, that have a very positive meaning and don't end up having a devastating effect on the child by teasing them with a name that might reflect some weakness that they have at the moment. Most people do not realize how tender a child's spirit is and how teasing a child, especially from a parent, that type of speech really does have an emotional impact on the child, because a child really values what comes from the lips of his or her parents and receives it as if it is just the truth, no matter what is said, even if it's said in a joking way. So it's important that we're very careful that we don't tease our children or say something negative, although many people do it thinking they're going to motivate the child to change a behavior that they have, but the result is really far more negative than it ever is positive. So if you call your child, oh, sloppy or slowpoke or anything like this, you can end up having a emotionally damaging impact on the child simply by the words that you choose. When our son, who's now an adult and is married and has children of his own, when he was just a little toddler, my husband and I were very aware of the power of words, because it was something God had taught us through the Word of God, because Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we were very careful with both how we spoke to our child and names that we would call him as little nicknames or what have you. And we decided from the beginning that if we ever called him anything, we were going to call him Treasure, so that we would be showing him how much we value him and how precious that he was. So that was what we would call him. Come here, Treasure, or whatever, something like that, when he was just a little child, besides calling him his given name, which has a very good meaning. But I want to encourage you to be very thoughtful in the way that you speak to your children and the name that you call them, even when you're kidding around or joking around. They make sure what you're saying has a positive impact. I just think of this mother of Jabez calling, come here, Jabez, come here, Payne, to the child, and thinking of what an impact that must have had upon him. And yet he was able to overcome it in his life and become more honorable than his brothers. He didn't allow it to have a devastating impact. The second thing that I want to observe from these two scriptures, verses 9 and 10 in 1 Chronicles 4, about this man called Jabez, is that Jabez prayed a very specific prayer to the Lord. And obviously it was so important and so profound and had an amazing impact that it is recorded in the scriptures in the middle of a very long recitation of genealogy of son of, here's the son of, the father of, and all that. In the midst of this, we have this record of a prayer prayed by this man named Jabez. And I want to pay close attention to it because it's a great model prayer for us. The first thing he said in this prayer to the Lord, it says, now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. The word blessing means to cause to prosper, or to bestow blessings upon, or to favor, and to have favor with others. So you could say Jabez was actually praying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and cause me to prosper, and bestow blessings upon me, and favor me, and give me favor with other people. Well, that is a very excellent prayer. And it was a perfectly scriptural prayer, since the blessings of Abraham were promised to those who would honor God and his commandments. And this prayer is very scriptural for us today as well. If you are not of Jewish descent, so a direct lineage from Abraham, it still applies to you because in Galatians 3, we are told that through Christ's redeeming sacrifice for us, the blessings of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. So anyone who's non-Jewish, you can see the long list of promised blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read through those as we have read a few months back. So this is a very powerful way to pray. Oh Lord, that you would prosper me indeed, that you would cause me to prosper, that you would bestow blessing upon me, favor me and give me favor with people. A good scriptural prayer to pray over your own life. Then the second thing that we see in Jabez's prayer is this. It was Jabez petitioning God to enlarge his territory or to enlarge his borders, as it says here in the New American Standard. Enlarge my border, which essentially means enlarge my territory. And you know, in the day of Jabez, in that time frame in history, a man's authority and influence was directly connected to the size or the extent of his personal territory or borders. So you could say that Jabez was literally asking God to expand his personal sphere of influence, his personal sphere of authority, as well as his personal wealth in land or property. He prayed, enlarge my borders or enlarge my territory, expand my borders, increase my influence and my area of authority. We can pray the same way over our own lives, over your business, over your career, over your family, over your church or over your ministry. And I believe that this is a very excellent way to pray regarding business, regarding your life and your family. Lord, enlarge my territory or enlarge my sphere of influence. Increase my area of authority for you. And I think that that's an excellent prayer that we can pray over our own lives. Then the third thing that we can observe in Jabez's prayer here is this. He petitions God saying that your hand would be with me. Now, we can find the hand of God throughout the scripture. You could look that up in a concordance and find many scriptures that reference the hand of God. And so Jabez is saying that your hand or that God's hand would be with me. We see God's hand upon the prophet as he speaks for God or demonstrating God's anointing upon a person's life. We see God's hand mentioned as guidance or as protection. And we also see God's hand mentioned as strengthening a person or as help in time of trouble. And those are all scriptural references that I'm making reference to right now. So you could pray it this way. You could say to the Lord, Father, that your hand would be with me, that your presence and your spirit and your anointing and your protection, your guidance and your help would be with me in my life. And that would be an excellent prayer to pray. Then the very last thing that Jabez is mentioned praying here in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 4 says that he prayed that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Another translation says it this way, that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. You could say that, first of all, Jabez was asking God for protection from falling into sin. Just like that. Or from causing hurt to other people, as well as God protecting him from the plots of the evil one against his life. And truthfully, that's a prayer all of us need to pray. If you look at the prayer in the New Testament that people refer to as the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray kind of in a similar way when he said, pray like this, pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. So the idea was very similar to what Jabez prayed, that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain, or that keep me from harm, that it might not pain me. Either way, the idea is praying, Lord, protect me from the plots of the evil one against my life. Protect me from falling into sin to cause pain to anybody else. And so it's an idea of wanting God's help to overcome and avoid sin and avoid temptation, and also to avoid the strategies of the enemy against his own life. You know, the Lord wants us to be wise about the devices of Satan against your own soul and anything he would try against you. But it's not automatic that that just happens. It's something we have to always pursue with the Lord, seeking his wisdom, seeking his guidance. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you have to pray, Lord, protect me from any plot of the enemy. Make me wise about Satan's devices. Help me not slip into temptation. Give me insight so I don't fall into a trap to sin and in my own life. So this is a very wise prayer to pray for sure. I want to just encourage you to take a look at this prayer that's in here, kind of nestled in the midst of this genealogy list. Here, obviously, God thought it was important enough to have it printed in the scriptures that this man, who was more honorable than his brothers and who was called this name that was really very negative, managed to overcome that and become a man of God and a man of prayer. And his prayer is certainly something that we can apply to our own lives today. So look at it, take a look at it in 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10, and I think it will really help you in your life. Now, obviously, the danger of any formal written prayer is that people can use it like it was some religious exercise or as if it was some sort of magic words to use that God will answer. We don't want that to happen in our lives. So simply use it as a model. Apply it to your own life. Pray it sincerely and personalize it to your own life situation. And I know God will hear and answer you just like he did with Jabez so many years ago. Because the very last part of the verse 10, here in 1 Chronicles 4 says, "So God granted him what he requested." Jabez asked for blessing, expansion of his territory and his influence, and that God's hand would be with him, and that God would keep him from harm and keep him from falling into sin. And these were all things that were in the will of God. And it says, "And God granted him what he requested." Pray like Jabez, and I believe it'll bring a blessing and God's answer into your life. God bless you and give you a victorious week.